Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
I'm Kristen, your mom.
And we are going to be covering Agent Carter, Season 1, Episode 7, Snafu.
Snafu. There may be a snafu with how much I've had to drink at this moment. And yet, at the same time, we have disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers. I mean, seriously, this show is great. You should be watching it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that we have been drinking, and we have been drinking the same thing, oddly, which is an ice rosé with berries.
Yes. Moët ice rosé.
It's not Moët ice rosé. It's the one you got for your birthday. No, it's not.
It's a nice rosé, and we put. Oh yeah, Veuve. We put some frozen raspberries and stuff in there.
It's really good.
It is very good.
And we're enjoying it, and we hope that you enjoy this episode, which we should get started right now because we're covering.
Season 1, Episode 7, Snafu. Unfortunately, there isn't a Season 7 of Agent Carter. What a wonderful world that would be.
It would be. Agent Carter has been so much fun.
Yeah, it really has. All right, so let's get into it. Russia, 1943. The doctor is brought to triage near a battle to hypnotize someone getting an amputation so he would be distracted from the pain.
Like, this is a thing? Seriously? Okay.
In the Marvel universe, it is, Mother. So
it
calm
is
down.
Silliness. That is ridiculous. I'm
there
sorry.
There are more ridiculous things in this, this episode. Yes,
for sure.
He thinks about a day, the soldier does, think about a day he spent with his mother before he went to war, and it distracts him from the amputation. Like, he's in his memory. We know it's not real, Mother. We just suspend our disbelief. Mm. Anyway, Peggy in the present is being interrogated by Sousa. There is damning evidence she is being accused of killing the spider, that like mob boss guy played by the guy from The Wire, Brannis, and Krasinski, which.
Oh, no, I don't really care where he stands.
True. We're going to call him Krasinski. I'm sorry. It's just what I've written down. None of which she did.
No.
And she's just like, you think I did all that?
She says it. It's like, fuck that shit. No.
She's been very quiet, but when that accusation is brought up, she's like, no, that's
she's
not what I did.
She's incredibly steady and calm under fire, which I have to respect.
And Sousa explains that he feels very betrayed by her, and she does feel bad about that.
But at the same time, she
also tries to convince them about there being a female agent for Leviathan out there, and she obviously knows it's Dottie, and she's trying to convince them of it, and they're just like, no, it's you, or whatever. So Chief hears about Agent Yosh dying. He walked in traffic because of the doctor hypnotizing him, and Thompson is annoyed that the doctor is looking in on the interrogation, which he shouldn't be.
The doctor shouldn't be, and Thompson is absolutely correct by being thrown off by this. And he really is just like, this is not okay.
Yeah. Thompson joins Sousa and the chief in the room for the questioning, and they need to apply more pressure. Thompson thinks it doesn't add up that she saved his life in Russia, and he tells her as much, and she's just like, yeah, it doesn't make much sense, does it?
Right, this is all a bunch of intercut interrogation of Peggy, which is...
Sousa and Thompson think that Stark has confused and seduced her.
Please.
And she's just like, my mind has never been scrambled by Howard Stark. You are way off base. Absolutely not. She stands firm and says she's been doing her own investigation on Stark. Chief brings up the device with Cap's blood. They don't know that it's Cap's blood. Mm-hmm. Peggy does. And she gets really quiet. She calls them out on their misconceptions about her. She's just like, oh yeah, I'm the lackey turned damsel in distress. I'm this, I'm that. Right. I'm the person you put on a pedestal that just fell down because of your misconceptions.
Talks about how reductive they are with her. They just put her in these
boxes
and she doesn't belong in any of them.
Yeah, she doesn't belong in a single box. People can be multifaceted.
True.
We see Dottie claiming she's pregnant at a baby store and buying a baby carriage and a blanket.
I would point out one of the other things that Peggy says is that they're doing shoddy police work by doing this presumptive, this confirmation bias interrogation of her. She's right. Go ahead.
Thompson warns Peggy that he's going to have to beat her up into submission soon because she's not been responding to any other kind of interrogation, and right, she should not. Jarvis shows up at the phone company where the SSR office is connected to, and he tells Rose, who is hesitant to let him in and has a gun under her desk, he says he has a signed confession by Howard Stark, which immediately makes everyone like jump into action. Jarvis says Stark will only come in when Jarvis and Peggy are released, but Chief says they can only leave when Stark arrives. So,
Right, so there's kind of a standoff going there, which is, but yet somehow the plot moves forward, which doesn't make a ton of sense.
Chief fires Peggy from the SSR, which is, yeah, that would happen anyway. She clears her desk, and her and Jarvis are kept in the meeting room. Jarvis reveals that Stark didn't write the confession.
Right, they didn't write
He
it. They
wrote
made
it.
her into the patsy, which she does not like
There are
in
many things
any
she does
way.
not like about that.
True.
Peggy freaks out that Stark won't be coming and they'll probably be prosecuted and hanged. Chief calls his wife to talk about their problems, which the
Ugh.
doctor has been talking to him about his
Oh
wife and his
my lord,
problems and
this is
such.
ridiculous bullshit. I'm sorry. Proceed.
Jarvis hopes that they can reason with someone, but Peggy says she has no friends left. Peggy then sees the doctor doing Morse code out the window, and saying something about an evacuation and Leviathan coming.
Right, she specifically notes that there is a, he's basically tapping on a turntable and that Leviathan is coming in 19 minutes or 90 minutes. I can't,
90 minutes.
whatever.
Peggy says the Stark confession is a fake to her, to Chief and to the other agents, and she tells them the full truth about everything. She tells them about the doctor, and they have less than 90 minutes to evacuate. She says she conducted her own investigation because no one listens to her. And because Sousa
Amen.
brings up, and
True.
rightfully so, why didn't you just come to us with your concerns? And she's like, you don't listen to me. I'm
I
invisible.
tried,
Well, no,
motherfucker.
she didn't really try, did
No.
she? She, but she didn't think that she could try. To gain their trust, she shows them the device with Steve Rogers's blood, and she says she wanted a second chance at keeping him safe, which is very sad.
And both Sousa and Thompson believe that she's telling the truth at
Because
this
Sousa
point.
brings up is like, Thompson, you know how much that means to her. I know much how much that means to her. The agents do a sidebar, and Sousa says he believes her. Chief sends Thompson and Sousa across the street to look around and see who received the
Right,
message.
because she says specifically the southeast corner of the building opposite to them. And so,
Yeah.
like,
Chief has the doctor close the window, and the doctor notices the agents going into the building across the street. So he knows he must spring into action.
the
The doctor hypnotizes the chief into thinking about dinner with his family.
jig
Meanwhile, Thompson and Sousa talk about how they both believe Peggy, which is nice that they both do. I think
is
Thompson has gone through quite a nice character arc.
Yes, I like this.
Thompson warns Sousa about how well trained the kid in Russia was, and this full grown one is going to be even more lethal. Chief leads Peggy and Jarvis to the interrogation room and pulls a gun on them and locks them in. That's bad.
That's
Sousa ends, and he's in his hypnotic state. It's not him thinking clearly.
no.
Sousa ends up on the same floor as Dottie, who has just received the Morse code message.
Uh-oh.
Chief and the doctor go to the lab and shut it down for an investigation. The doctor wants to find item 17 from Stark. Doctor also finds a volatile vest, and Chief finds the item 17 and
Right.
gives it to him.
Right, so item 17 is supposed to be in a crate, and it appears to be like almost like a foot locker. It seems to be something full of other stuff.
Anyway,
Sorry.
it's okay. Dottie and Sousa fight. which it's nice to see Sousa fighting someone, but Dottie is better than him. She gets away and Spider-Man's down the stairs.
It's kind of hilarious.
It's
Like she
very funny.
bounces from one landing to the next
It's
without
great.
actually holding on to any of them. It's bizarre.
Chief is hesitant to give the doctor iron-17, but he does, and he takes the vest and has his instructions while the doctor gets away. Dottie killed one of the agents on the stairs and picks up the doctor, who says they need to test the item before they use its full capacity.
Right, because it's been in storage for so long.
Peggy and Jarvis are handcuffed to the table in the interrogation room. And Jarvis is trying to yell for help, and Peggy's like, "No one's gonna listen." And he says, "I know you might be universally despised, but they barely know me." It's very funny. They use the table to break the two-way mirror, which takes a lot of convincing that Jarvis to Jar for Jarvis to do it.
So many attempts at this. It's ridiculous. It's kind of like, let's just break the fucking window of
Which they end up
the
doing.
door.
And Thompson comes in and sees it while Peggy asks about Chief. Chief is still in his head talking to his wife about what has happened and how he feels bad that he let this guy get away. I wonder what could have happened if
I
he,
have
like,
no idea.
how he could have helped that. Chief has locked himself in his office and has a glowing vest on,
Oh dear.
while which Jarvis explains is a heating vest that overheats easily.
Right. So Jarvis explains basically that the technology was designed to keep soldiers warm in the cold weather, but in fact, it is like so many Stark inventions, something that goes
Liable
drastically
to blow
wrong.
up.
Right. And so once they lock together, it blows up. And if you try to like release it in any kind of way, it
It
will
blows
blow up
up.
some more.
Sousa finds the dentist's body in the place across the street and the briefcase Dottie left behind with the messages, including to kill Peggy. Chief tells them of the rest of the agents who are back at the office about helping him steal and helping the doctor steal an item. And so the scientists don't know what to do about the vest.
Right, they're
Chief.
very lost, and Jarvis is trying to help, but he can't because basically the
It's
vest
kind of a
is,
lost cause at
yeah,
this point.
it's like once it's on and locked, you're fucked.
Yeah. Chief gets Thompson's gun and makes Peggy promise they will get the guy who did this. He shoots through the window and jumps out, causing him to blow up.
Right, outside the window there, but not in the office, which I guess is
A win?
sort of.
Anyway, he's dead. They tell Sousa about Chief, which they're all sad about. Peggy blames herself, and Jarvis blames Stark's inventions. Peggy realizes Lee Brannis, who was one of the voice box guys, was sent to steal something, and they think it was Steve's blood. So they run to go find if it's Steve's blood. It wasn't, but whatever. Dottie brings the stroller she got from that baby store into a crowded movie theater in the middle of the day.
OMG,
And it
this is bad.
really is. And it has a gas canister in it, which she activates, and then she leaves it behind, and the doctor closes and locks the door behind them. Peggy finds Steve's blood where it's meant to be, and they find out the doctor took item 17, but Jarvis doesn't know what it does at all. In the movie theater, people start coughing and getting irritable and then violently beating each other to
Right,
death.
it's really, really horrible. I mean, if you're thinking this is in some way reminiscent of, say, Inglourious Basterds or something
Yeah, it's
else,
very Inglourious
it
Basterds.
does have an element of that, but at the same time, it is much more insidious than that because basically people are killing each other.
Yep. And so people arrive late and open the door and find everyone dead.
Oh, it's bad.
It's very
With bites and ickiness, gouging out eyes, all of the things that you really, really don't want to think about from a visceral standpoint.
bad. And that's
So
the end of the episode.
that's it. What were your best parts of this episode?
Jarvis helping Peggy. Yeah, yes, he did forge something, but he was trying to get her out of a really tough situation. And I love them as a duo anyway, so them like breaking the glass and all that stuff, and Jarvis providing context for anybody who needs it. It's very helpful. Thompson and Sousa, I really like them trusting Peggy, even though their earths have been shaken a little bit. by the news that
I love
she.
that phrase, earths have been shaken.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Anyway, don't judge me for this.
I don't. I
Thompson,
can't.
you can't.
No.
Thompson says that they do believe in Peggy, and I'm glad that Thompson has had enough development where he's at the same a similar point as Sousa, not like the same point because Sousa's in love with her, but you know. And the stakes being raised, the gas canister, like figuring out what that means and what it
Well, and that
does.
there's broader influence. Like, there is much more insidious intent here.
Because we were thinking this entire time that like the major thing that was going to be like the pawn, the I don't know, the thing that everyone's going to be after is Steve's blood, but it's not. It's this other thing that can be used for evil.
You're right. It's terrible. It's really, really bad.
Yeah.
My best parts were the action. I felt like the action in this episode was a lot more dynamic. Of course, we have talked about it less, in part because it's hard to describe. You have to see it and enjoy it to really get something out of it. It is a scary episode. There is a lot of creepy, awful, oh my gosh, the terrible stuff. Especially involving Dottie and the doctor, but it's just really, really scary. I love also that the chief believes Peggy finally, and that affirmation kind of
Before he dies, yeah.
right gets all of the other people on board with, hey, Peggy's not a fucktard. And we
My
knew
God.
that, of course, all along, but at the same time, it is really nice to see
Other people see
someone
it.
in power, her supervisor particularly, saying, oh, wow, you got this right. I want you to take them out because I'm going to die for this.
And he
And
knows that she can.
he knows that she can, and he knows that he can't. And that is just a really meaningful passing of the baton. I think that is a great, great thing in this episode. So those were my best parts. What are your worst parts?
The agent's misconceptions about Peggy, like them thinking that Howard Stark is her lover of some kind, that's so stupid. And I mean, I think that's it could be like a fair assumption given like Stark's reputation, but they've already made that assumption about her, and Sousa dismissed it offhand. And now that he suddenly knows that she's been working towards a different goal than him, he's like, oh, well, you're being seduced. It's like, no, that's not it at all.
No, and just because we don't have identical worldviews, we're not opposed to each other.
Dottie, the doctor, and she,
Yeah.
I think I like that it's added to the stakes being raised, which is one of my best parts of like knowing what weapon they're using and all that stuff and what they're having an idea of what their plan might be. But also with the chief dying, the stakes are raised exponentially because he's been a major player in these
Yeah,
episodes. Like he's had his own little subplots and all that stuff. And now that he's just dead, like we're stuck with like a few people who are lost without not lost without a chief. Like they have Thompson who's going to step in, but you know, it's a different frontier now.
right,
They also have
absolutely.
more to lose.
Right, and because there is that kind of power vacuum, it makes it the stakes are higher for sure. Anything else? So my worst buzz were the doctor. Of course, I think he's just fucking evil and terrible. And I don't think there's any excuse for that. I don't like the hypnosis thing. I feel like that is such a cheap out. Like, why are these people enthralled with this man? There's no explanation for why his ring works or any of that shit. I hate too that the inventions, there are inventions that don't work and that are end up being weaponized. The fact that the US government's approach to every invention is, hey, can we weaponize this? Hey, can we weaponize this? As portrayed in this show is disturbing to me. I recognize that that is a theme in the show. I also recognize it's a theme in some of the Captain America movies and some of the Marvel movies. And the in the public in general, I just feel like not every little thing needs to be weaponized to the point where we're going to have like World War III. So that bothers me. What grade did you give this episode?
I don't know. I think it might be like either an A minus or an A.
I gave it an A, and I'm not really sure why I gave it an A, other than I really feel like this is one of the best episodes, certainly of this season.
It definitely
certainly
is.
Of Agent Carter up to this point.
Definitely.
I feel like there is a lot of closure that we needed. I feel like there is a lot of
suspense.
There's action.
Yeah, I agree. It's probably an A.
Yeah, I think it's an A.
For Agent Carter, it's an A.
Absolutely, and that's how we do things, is based on the show that we're dealing with.
Except for A pluses. A pluses are just like across the board. You should watch
special.
Those are sacred.
Those are sacred. And so we are hoping that you join us to see if there is anything sacred in Agent Carter. And
cheers.